God, we ask your blessing on the offering and the tithes and your people, Lord. The sacrifice that it takes to come out in this weather and be in your house. God, it outweighs any difficulty that we've had. You're a rewarder of those who diligently seek you. In Jesus' name, amen. While you're standing, I'd like to turn your attention to Hebrews, the 10th chapter. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse number 36. For you have need of patience, that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come, and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of our souls. Amen. A little while, he's coming. He won't tarry. And we can't draw back. Lord, we ask your blessing on your word. Touch it, bless it, anoint it. Keep us, Lord. Only you know the day and the hour. But God, we see the signs. We ask your blessing in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. It was written 2,000 years ago. He said a little while. For yet a little while, and he that shall come, and will not tarry, or he won't linger. And some might think, well, what are you talking about, God? I've been hearing prophecy and preaching about his soon return for, 43 years. And I've seen many draw back onto perdition or spiritual ruin. They're not waiting for him any longer. Take a look at 2 Peter, the 3rd chapter, some of which we read this morning. 2 Peter 3, starting in verse number 3. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lust, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the worlds that then was, being overflowed with water, perished, but the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise. We're talking about his coming. I'm coming. As some men count slackness, but is longsuffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, that all should come to repentance. Thinking about it, you know, God wants to come, yet there are some people who aren't saved yet. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, the elements shall melt with fervent heat, the earth also and the works that are therein shall be burnt up, seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of person ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. There are so many people who want to preserve this earth, you know, the ozone layer and the Arctic and all of those things. And God's saying, don't worry, I'm going to make it all new again. Hallelujah. It said that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years and 1,000 years as one day. Based on that, it's only 2 days since Jesus left. If you look at it from his economy of time, there is no doubt he is coming. The question is, are we ready? Amen. We know that there is a generation who will not sleep the sleep of death, but will be alive at his coming. I don't know if I'll be alive. I believe there are people in here that certainly will be alive at his coming. And I can't help but believe that we are that living generation. There has never been a time like this, folks. Never. A total financial collapse of all of our commerce this year. Total dumbing down of everything that we knew was good, the total moral decline of America and government takeover, sacrificing unborn babies without any kind of conscience. It's a right of a woman to do that. A worldwide pandemic, millions of people who have died. We haven't seen anything like that ever in the history of the world. Total rebellion against authority that is promoted through the media. We are seeing earthquakes of great magnitude and almost on a daily basis. Hurricanes, not just in the tropical areas of the world, but also in New York City this year. Church, it's no time to play church. It's time to get serious about being the church. Jesus said in Luke 21 and 28, and when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth near. We know that it's closer than it has ever been, but maybe somehow we think, well, he hasn't come. I've heard preaching on this over and over again. Folks, this shouldn't cause us to be afraid, you know? I feel like God chose us to be a part of that rapture generation. God is getting a world ready for his return. And we need to tell the world, get ready, get right, or get left. Ain't no time for indecision. You got to make up your mind. Take your Bibles and turn to Isaiah 13 and 6. Isaiah chapter 13, verse number 6. How? Ye, for the day of the Lord is at hand, it shall come as a destruction from the Almighty. There's going to be some destruction coming before the Lord comes. And we're seeing that. 1 Thessalonians, the 5th chapter. First Thessalonians 5 and verse number 3. For when they shall say peace and safety, then suddenly destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. It seems like for the last several years, there's been peace in the world, no wars. I remember Brother East saying about 4 years ago, 4.5 years ago, God has opened a door for us that's going to last for a little while. And I believe that door has closed now, and we need to get ready. It's just like Jerusalem. God made a way for those to escape from General Titus, and they did escape, and then there was a decimation of that city. Acts, the 13th chapter. Acts chapter 13 and verse 41. Behold, ye despisers, and wonder, and perish, for I work a work in your days, a work which ye shall in no wise believe, though a man declare it unto you. Something's happening in our world right now that especially needs to get the attention of the church. Just a week ago, we were in Cabo San Lucas at the end of the Baja Peninsula, and every February and March, there are humpback whales that jump up in the water. Every 5 minutes, you see these whales jumping up. Last year, we saw a mother whale on its side, and there were two baby whales just kind of treading water and nursing with the mother. It was a beautiful sight to see. But every year, these humpback whales come from Alaska and swim all the way down around the Cabo area up into the Sea of Cortez, have their babies, and then they make their way all the way back to Alaska. They travel thousands of miles, and it's incredible to watch them perform. But there's something within them that God says, you need to make the trip every year to go to the same place and then come back, you see. Hallelujah. Maybe it's what God is saying to us. You need to go to a certain place to have your babies. You need to come to church all of the time in order to have those babies. Glory to God. God puts it in their heart to come back. God puts it in our heart to go to the place that we can have church. At daybreak on February 18th of this year, and in every year, thousands of swallows leave Argentina where they winter to make a 12,000-mile trip to San Juan Capuchino. They fly 15 hours per day at altitudes of 1 mile high for 30 days, and they will arrive on March 17th every year, exactly at the same time. This migration takes place for hundreds of years without any change. The city buys thousands of ladybugs for the swallows to feed on. They want to prepare for them. They create mud puddles so the swallows can build their own nest. They prepare for their return every year because they're faithful. 20,000 people show up to welcome the swallows. How many will show up to welcome our God? You could set your clock by their coming. They know about daylight savings time. But I read that 1 year, they just never showed up. People waited and waited, and not one swallow appeared. Peter said, in the last days, scoffers walking after their own lust and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, you know, those guys who kept saying, he's coming, he's coming. Since Brother Urshan isn't here anymore, Brother Rose isn't here, Brother Haney isn't here anymore to preach the message. Maybe it wasn't true at all. All things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. Is he really coming? I wonder how many sermons I've preached on or Bible studies I taught on the second coming of the Lord Jesus. I wonder how many revivals I was in with Brother Stevens from Texas who, you know, at the end of his revival talking about the soon coming of Jesus, it was even hard to sleep, you know. It's amazing how many scriptures there are about when Jesus is coming back. I remember a building program in 1980. I've talked about it over the years, thinking, what's the sense in going through this building program? Jesus is coming so soon. I remember as a young Christian, there's no sense of saving any money because God's just going to be coming. I'll never get to 74. But Jesus shows up every time you mention his name. Just not to take us out, you see. Hebrews 10 and 37 said, yet a little while, and he that shall come will come. What did John say at the end of the book? Come quickly, Lord Jesus. You know, we are closer than ever to his coming. The signs are all around. Our God is about to descend from heaven with a shout. Ready or not, here he comes. Five virgins were ready, five weren't. I saw an excerpt of Israel's Prime Minister Netanyahu speak to Congress, and he made it very clear that there is a great threat of nuclear attack on Israel from Iran. Right now, they have created enough nuclear material that they can do that. Some people just aren't listening or think that things like this could never happen in our world, but we didn't think a pandemic could ever happen either. His speech was like reading prophecy. He talked about how this will happen. My Bible says, all nations shall come against Israel one day. And this will happen 3.5 years after we have been raptured from this earth. God wants to get the attention of his church, be ready, and get others ready as well. If we don't think it's an imminent thing, then we're not going to get ready, nor do we even want to tell anybody else to get ready. Run into the camp. Tell everybody, get ready, get ready. I remember as a new Christian telling people, Jesus is coming, Jesus is coming. And now after all of these years, it doesn't seem that it's preeminent in my life anymore, but we are closer than ever. We aren't waiting for any prophecy to be fulfilled. Nothing has to happen, you know, in order for Jesus to say, well, it's time. The very next thing on God's calendar is the rapture of the church, the taking away of the church. The Antichrist will be revealed after we leave, not before we leave. We can find evidence of the second coming of the Lord from Genesis to Malachi over and over again. Abraham seeks a city whose builder and maker is God. Jacob prophesies of the coming king of Judah. Isaiah sees the return of the King of Glory. Zechariah writes about a world created at his return, a brand new world. Zechariah 14 and 9 says, and the Lord shall be the king over all of the earth, in that day shall there be one Lord, and his name one. Finally, there's no mistake, there's only one God, his name is Jesus. Hallelujah. Why? Because he's going to be here on the earth. Physically, glory to God. Take a look at Zechariah, the 14th chapter, please. Zechariah 14, verse number 1. Behold, the day of the Lord cometh, and thy spoils shall be divided in the midst of thee. For I will gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle, and the city shall be taken, and the houses rifled, and the women ravished, and half of the city shall go forth into captivity, and the residue of the people shall not be cut off from the city. Then shall the Lord go forth and fight against those nations as when he fought in the day of battle. and his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east, and the Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst thereof towards the east and towards the west, and there shall be a very great valley, and half of the mountain shall remove towards the north, and half of it towards the south. What did the angel say? Why stand ye gazing? This same Jesus will return from the place that he ascended. He's coming back. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. Jesus himself told the high priest at his mock trial when he was asked if he really was the Christ. And he said in Matthew 26 and 64, I say unto you, thereafter shall you see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power and coming in the clouds of heaven. Amen. He's coming back, folks. Now, some of us get to the place where, not yet, God, I haven't done this, I haven't done that. You know, some of you young people think that it would be a bad thing for God to come back. Nobody on their way to heaven is going to say, wait a minute, I don't want to go to heaven. I don't want to go to the marriage supper of the Lamb. I've got things to do on earth, but eye hath not seen, ear has not heard. It hasn't even entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for them. Hallelujah. It's because all we know is here on earth. Amen. Are we missing out on something here? I don't think so, folks. Amen. 1 Thessalonians. Chapter 4. Starting in verse number 13, it said, I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not even as others which have no hope. Those who have passed on. You don't sorrow because somebody fell asleep. You sorrow because somebody died. And he's saying, listen, we have a hope, you see. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep or die in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord, I believe that's us, folks, shall not prevent or precede them which are asleep or who have died. For the Lord himself, he's not sending somebody else, but the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. I like verse 18. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Amen. It's a comfort knowing he's coming back for me. Hallelujah. After his resurrection, Jesus ascended into heaven from the Mount of Olives. Take a look at Acts, the first chapter. Acts 1 and verse number 11. Verse number 10, and while they looked steadfast towards heaven as they went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. Glory to God. Just like it says in Zechariah 14. If you'll turn to 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter, the resurrection chapter, if you will. Starting in verse number 51. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, But we shall be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trump shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. You can't get to heaven unless you change. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruption, a corruptible, shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Hebrews, the 9th chapter. Hebrews 9 and 27, it says, as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. He's coming back. You know, he's kind of put the church on layaway. And then he's coming back to collect it. I mean, how many people put money down on layaway and then they just forget about it? You know? Amen. He paid a price. He's coming back. He's coming back for his church. Amen. One in every 30 verses in the New Testament speaks of the Lord's coming. Tells you something. 1 John, the 3rd chapter. 1 John 3 and verse number 2. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. We're going to be like him. We're going to have a body fashioned after his glorious body. I can't wait. Walking through walls, immortality, don't have to sleep. It's going to be great, you know? Life everlasting, never have to worry about the shadow of death over us. According to Ezekiel 33, a pastor is a watchman on a wall that has to make a clear sound to warn people of the impending danger or what is coming down the road. We have a mandate from God to preach the word and all of the word. Not to frighten people, but to prepare people for the soon return of Jesus Christ. I remember somebody saying this to me in my first Bible study. It says, plan like he's not coming in your lifetime. Buy the house, get a new refrigerator. You know, buy some nice clothes, prepare for retirement. I don't know if we have a lot of years, but you plan as if he's not coming, but live like he's coming tomorrow. It's the best way to operate, you see. You know what? God will bless everything you do here, but when the time comes, when he comes, there isn't going to be any hesitation. I want to be with him. To preach it when we see people unconcerned about the souls, when we see people ignore the Lord's day, when we see the signs of the world so evident today, and when we see people have lost sight of the nearness of his return, we need to say, get ready. Every time I do a marriage in the church, I look at the circumstances involved, and generally it's the bride-to-be who is a little frantic, trying to get everything ready because She wants to make it the best day. There's some pressure on her. We are the bride. We're getting close to the ceremony. We ought to be in a place where, you know, I just want to be right. I want to look good. I want the garment to look white. Hallelujah. Back in the Old Testament, the high priest entered into the holiest of holies and disappeared from sight of the people. They couldn't see him while he ministered in the tabernacle or in the holiest of holies. They could hear him. It wasn't until he returned and they saw him again that they knew the work of their redemption was complete. The people all shouted when they saw his return. They all make a great noise. The priest is back. He's done ministering. Our redemption is safe. Folks, I want to start shouting right now because my God is about to return and seal our redemption. Now, let me explain that the rapture is a part of the second coming of the Lord. It's not the second appearing of God, but it's part of it. The second coming appears to have two distinct stages. The first is called the rapture or the catching away of the church. There's no word rapture in the Bible, but it explains that God is going to catch us away. And in a moment, we're going to be changed. We're going to have a body fashioned after his glorious body. You see, there's already been a rapture. It was Jesus Christ as they watched him, you know, leave through the clouds. And how he left, that's exactly how we're going to leave. The rapture could be compared to a thief coming to steal that which was his in the first place. And Jesus will just do that. When he's coming back for his people. Take a look at 1 Thessalonians, the 5th chapter, please. I know we're using a lot of scripture. First Thessalonians 5. Starting in verse number 1. But of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say, peace and safety, then suddenly destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness that that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light and the children of day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us, who are of the day, be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for the helmet, the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even also you do. So God's saying, you know, you shouldn't be surprised. You know, he says, you're going to see some things happening. Has there ever been a year like this, folks? Is God really refining? Is he really getting people ready to leave this place? This is his planned elopement, if you will, you know, of the church. There's not a wedding here on earth. He's going to get this incredible ladder that takes us out of here, you see. Now, the second stage of his coming is the appearing of Jesus Christ when he's coming back to fight the battle of Armageddon. after the marriage of the supper of the Lamb, 7 years after the rapture, Jesus will return to earth with his church. This time he's coming back, but he's coming back with his saints. I hope you know how to ride a horse, because the Bible says we're coming on white horses to fight against the Antichrist and to establish his kingdom on earth for 1,000 years after he gets the victory over the Antichrist and his army. And so he's going to establish something. You know, what's surprising is there are so many people, even within Pentecost, that think, you know, we're going to heaven, that's where we're going to stay, don't realize we're coming back here, we're going to be here on earth for 1,000 years, and it's going to be a different place where lambs lay down with lions, there's going to be peace, and there's not going to be weeds anymore, and it's going to be an incredible place, perhaps just like the Garden of Eden. Let's do it right this time, you know? And we're going to be the stars of this earth, because we're going to be the ones with bodies fashioned after his glorious body, yet there will still be the mortal people here on earth, and they're going to want to be like us. Hallelujah. Here is the comparison between the rapture and his return, his second return. In the rapture, Jesus comes in the air. In the appearing, Jesus comes to earth to set up his kingdom. Amen. He's going to touch down here on the earth. In the rapture, Jesus comes as a bridegroom. At his appearing, he comes as a king of authority. In the rapture, he comes for his church. In his appearing, he comes with his church. In the rapture, he's like a thief in the night. In his appearing, he's like lightning that comes from above. Jesus himself said in Revelation 3:11, "Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown." Stay faithful. Hallelujah. Well, it's not so important anymore, Pastor. You see, we're a different society. No. Hold fast to the things that you know are important. Since no man knows the day or the hour of his return, Jesus commands us to watch for that hour. Glory to God. I remember in high school, I ran cross country, and my coach saying, you should be running faster at the end of the race than the beginning. And that's true when we're living for God. And the early church did just that. They watched and they prayed and always lived in the shadows of the Lord's imminent return. How many scriptures said, I'm coming quickly? They believed it. Amen. I believe it. It causes the early church to flourish and get through great trials and persecution. And the human circulatory system has arteries that carry oxygenated blood to the body. That's how we keep living. And veins that return the depleted blood back to the lungs and chest. So we have arteries that carry the red blood, oxygenated blood to the body, and the veins that return the depleted blood, no oxygen, back to be recirculated. The arteries carry the red blood cells, and the veins return blue blood back to the heart. The first coming of the Lord carried the red blood of Calvary fresh from God's heart. But his second return brings his royalty and kingship in blue. You see, there has to be a return in order for us to live. This isn't just it. It's just not 70, 80, 90 years, folks. It's for eternity, and we need our God to come back to us. Hallelujah. Our bodies could not survive with just red blood from the arteries. And we must have veins for the return. And the church cannot survive without the hope of his second return. A king is coming. He's coming soon. He came the first time for a funeral. He's coming back for a wedding. Hallelujah. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trump shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Amen. Hallelujah. This is our hope. I would not have you sorrow as others who have no hope. You know, I see young people with all the hope in their lives and thinking how exciting it can be if you live the right life and how God will bless you. But I see older people who have the same excitement because they have the same outlook on eternity. This isn't the end of anything, folks. It's the beginning. But what happened to the swallows? I found out they finally arrived, but when they got there, no one expected them, and there was nobody to greet them. No one knows the day or hour. I want to be ready to greet him when he comes. So we keep watching and we keep praying. Hallelujah. And we prepare for his coming, because he's coming, folks. As sure as the swallows, he's coming, folks. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. I've said this before. In 1988, the church was almost paralyzed because somebody wrote a little pamphlet, 88 Reasons Why Jesus is Coming Back in 88. And there are people who were frightened and scared. And he was supposed to come in September of 1988. And there were people who had early Christmases because they didn't want to miss Christmas that year. They set out dog food for weeks because they didn't want their pets starving while they were gone. And they rushed into the church. Many backsliders came back to the church because they were so afraid that they're going to miss the rapture of the church. And then it didn't happen. And within weeks, all the backsliders went back to where they were. You see, you can't frighten people to stay in church. You got to love the one who is coming back for you, folks. Glory to God. Amen. Hallelujah. I want to be with him. I want to see him face to face. I want to be like Moses. I want to see him face to face. And one day, glory to God, I'm going to see my Lord and Jesus. And I'll tell you what, it's going to be greater than we could possibly imagine. On our way up, we're going to think, why didn't I do more? Why wasn't I more faithful? This is the best thing that could ever happen to me. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. Would you stand with me, please? Amen. We just have to have the facts, folks. We have to know. What's next on God's calendar? Amen. Hallelujah. I love having church. This song service this evening was just outstanding. But I look at Revelation, the 19th chapter, at the first song service in heaven is going to sound like thunder. Now that is going to be a song service that I want to be a part of. Hallelujah. I got to get home. I'm getting tired. that's not going to be a problem in heaven with glorified bodies, folks. We won't get tired. There could be song services that last for 1,000 years, and we're saying, hey, let's keep going, you know? Hallelujah. I can only imagine, but I know it's going to be great. The altar's open. Would you come?